Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That reading that we just had a little bit ago gets used a lot at funerals. Have you ever heard it at one? At a memorial? I know I have. I know I've preached on it. I know I've used it in this very room before. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The reading is filled with death language. Is that fair to say? Just say yes, Pastor Chris. Thank you. Some resurrection language in there as well. It makes perfect sense why we see it at funerals so often. And I'm not trying to discourage its use in that situation. But I do think it's selling it short to just use it in that way. Look at the ending in particular, verse 11 onwards. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. We've talked about this before, but do you remember the definition of sin that we typically use in the Lutheran Church? The Lutheran way of understanding the Christian faith? Anyone?
Is it not the noun, but like the giant sort of concept of it?
The self turned inward. Yes, I see what you're asking. Yes. The self turned inward. When we talk about sin, that's typically what we talk about, is the self turned inward. Selfishness, in a sense. Self-centeredness. Being self-involved. Not that we're supposed to pretend we don't exist. That's not what it's about. But we oftentimes recognize the ways in which our own need to focus on ourselves above and beyond all else damages relationships. Damages relationships with God. Damages relationships with each other. Heck, I'll spare you the gory details, but Sarah and I just had a conversation about that last night. She's laughing because she knows I'm going to spare you the gory details. But identified something that I was doing that was in many ways selfish. And I needed to apologize to her for that. Sin, the self turned inward. We all do it. It's probably one of the most natural things on earth for us as human beings. And of course, I think we know now that just because something is natural and comes easily does not always mean it's what we should be doing. Yesterday, I mentioned to the kids yesterday that we were at this Synod Assembly. This meeting of representatives from all the different Lutheran churches in this part of Western State. Everything from Kent on up to Bellingham and from the mountains across to the Sound. It was a pretty good experience. And the whole topic for the overall meeting, the title, the theme, the focus was, Can We Talk? It was all about hard conversations. Can we talk? Have you noticed that in society today, there's not a lot of talking or, dare I say, listening going on? Maybe can we listen would actually be a better way to put it. Do you see that? Talking past one another? Trying to earn points with our own side as opposed to hearing what the other side has to say? I was asked to lead a workshop during this on hard conversations. And can you, maybe some of you, guess what topic involving hard conversations I might have been asked to talk about?
Oil.
Oil. I'll give you a hint. It involved buildings. That was the workshop that I led. It was talking honestly about buildings and how we use them and what we do with them, and how to make the most out of them. And Bruce actually went to one of them, and it went pretty well. Both the workshops it did went pretty well. There was this odd moment during the first one, though. You know the Great Commission? I've mentioned it to you before. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. I used that pair of verses. I'm going to move this because it's blocking me today. I used that pair of verses as my focus for a part of what I was talking about. But I really confused someone in the room when I did that. Because my intention had been to talk about how what we are doing here, what we are trying to do, is to situate ourselves in a way where we can make that more fully our focus. You follow me? But somehow she got confused, and she thought I was talking about as some sort of step-by-step thing that we were doing. So since those verses begin with go, that must be what we're doing right now, is we're going. And next we were going to make disciples once we checked off the going. Because it says, go therefore and make disciples. So then we were going to go do that. And then once we made disciples of all nations, then we were going to go forward and teach them all that I have commanded you. You following me? It was a really weird miscommunication. It got kind of awkward. But the reason, again, that I brought it up in that situation was not because it's a step-by-step list of what we're going to do. It's not. What we have come to realize as a community of faith is that we've been distracted in many ways. We have been locked in survival mode for so long that it's all we know. It's our default. And when you're locked in survival mode, it's hard to think about anything bigger. It's hard to think about anything better or more life-giving. When you don't have enough to eat, you probably don't care much about philosophy until you get fed. If you don't have a roof over your head, arguing about ethics is not necessarily the first topic that comes to mind. There was a psychologist back in the 50s or 60s, Laszlo. I can't remember his first name. Abraham? I don't know. Laszlo's hierarchy of needs he talked about. It was this concept that until human beings can deal with these more basic things, it's hard for us to focus on the things that are more spiritual, if you will. It makes sense. And so what I tried to explain to this person is that what we are doing as a congregation is trying to break away from that survival mode. In our council meeting last Thursday, we had this hilarious moment where we realized that we were talking about and debating about whether or not we should spend the money to buy postage to send out a couple of newsletters. That's funny. I know it's dark humor. I know that isn't something that necessarily makes you laugh right away, but if you stop and think about it, that's just ridiculous. Because that's not what a life in Christ is about. Wondering if you can make it to pay postage? That's not life-giving. That's not new life. Right? Thank you. I know that all of this conversation still makes some of us uncomfortable. I know that it can be awkward. But I hope that you recognize that the point to all of this is not because there is anything wrong with this place. Well, there are some physical things wrong with it, but It's not about this place. It's about God. It's about ministry. It's about putting ourselves in a place, in a situation where we will be able to focus on that with all of our being. Personally, I find that exciting. And most importantly, in relating it back to the letter of Romans today, that inward focus that we do when we're in survival mode. Ooh. What did we just define as the self turned inward? Being stuck in survival mode is unintentionally forcing us to sin constantly. It's breaking that relationship with each other, breaking that relationship with God, breaking that relationship with ourselves. Because our priorities are all out of whack. And it's not because we're bad people. It's not because there's something wrong with us. It's because it's so natural. What else can you do when you are in that mode? And so that is what we are doing. We are deliberately making a choice. We are saying, no more. We are done with this. We are done with scraping by. We are done with this distraction. We are ready to live in Christ. We are ready to share that with the community. We are ready to be a part of that in ways that we can't even begin to understand. And it is going to be exciting. And it is going to be scary. And it is going to be filled with life and Christ and hope. And while I can't promise you much, I can promise you that. Let us pray. Holy, good, and loving God, we thank you so much for the ways in which you move us and move through us. We ask you to continue to bless this community, to bless us in all we do, to help us to understand the ways in which we may more fully live out our calling to be your disciples. We give you thanks for the sounds of children in the sanctuary. We give you thanks for the presence of those that we have not seen in some time. We give you thanks for just the opportunity to gather in your name, to enjoy each other's company and presence, and to be wrapped in your warm embrace. Be with us when we leave from this place. Help us to carry you with us. In your holy, good, and gracious name we pray. Amen.